Welcome to today's deep dive. If you've been feeling like the tech world is moving so fast that it's practically vibrating right now, you are definitely not alone.
Yeah, it's a very real feeling.
Right. And today we are looking at a single, incredibly dense source that just landed on our desks. It's called the Tech in Brief: Six Acts of Engineering Violence, 2026.
Dated March 5th, 2026.
Exactly. And the mission for this deep dive is pretty simple. We are going to guide you through six foundational events happening right now. I mean, these aren't far-off predictions for the next
Yet.
decade.
No, not at all.
These are things actively, aggressively rewriting the hardware and software roadmaps of Silicon Valley as we speak. So, okay, let's unpack this. I am honestly so excited to skip the generic tech news and just get straight into the raw physics and the math of what is actually happening behind closed doors.
It is a remarkably revealing document. And to really frame the overarching theme for you today, what this brief exposes is that the entire tech industry is currently caught in a brutal war of attrition.
A physical war, really.
Yes. On one side, you have the absolute unforgiving physical limits of classical hardware. We are quite simply running out of atoms and cooling capacity. And then on the other side, you have the sprawling, aggressive ambitions of artificial intelligence.
And they're colliding.
Exactly. Those two forces are colliding in ways that are forcing every major company to completely rethink how they build the future.
And that collision is generating an astonishing amount of heat. Like, literally.
Which brings us to the first event from the brief, the NVIDIA B300 thermal crisis. We're looking at what researchers are essentially calling the death of air-cooled data centers.
Yeah, it's a massive paradigm shift.
Because NVIDIA's second-generation Blackwell architecture, specifically this colossal B300 GPU designed for training these multi-trillion parameter AI models, it's pushing right up against the fundamental rules of thermodynamics.
The power consumption is just staggering.
It really is. The brief points out this single chip pulls over 1,200 watts of power alone.
And to put that in perspective for you, think about a high-end kitchen microwave running on its absolute maximum setting, or a heavy-duty space heater. Now take all of that energy and the resulting heat and concentrate it into a tiny piece of silicon you can hold in your hands.
And that's just the chip itself. That doesn't even account for the memory or the heavy networking gear stacked around it in a servo rack.
Exactly. So traditional air cooling is mathematically dead here. Even the previous generation, the 700-watt H100, required those deafening 15,000 RPM server fans and immense customized wind tunnels. For the B300, blowing air over it simply will not work anymore.
Which brings us to a sweeping industry mandate that the brief highlights, the direct liquid cooling or DLC mandate. Because air can't carry the heat away fast enough, NVIDIA is forcing the integration of high-pressure micropumps that circulate distilled coolants directly across the silicon die envelope.
Water and electricity inside a server rack.
Exactly. Think about the physical stakes there. They are notoriously bad roommates. At this unprecedented thermal density, a millimeter fracture in a coolant pipe doesn't just mean a puddle on the data center floor.
No, it means fireworks.
It translates to millions of dollars of combusting silicon in a matter of milliseconds. It is a profound engineering risk.
Okay, but wait, I need to push back on this a little bit. If retrofitting these data centers with complex plumbing is such a massive financial and physical risk, why wouldn't a smaller cloud provider just stick to the older air-cooled hardware for their less demanding tasks?
Well, that is the logical instinct, right? But the brief points out that the economics of older hardware just don't scale for modern AI workloads. The older chips take far too long to compute the data.
Oh, they run longer.
Right, which means they end up using way more electricity over time anyway. So mid-scale cloud providers globally are facing this existential ultimatum. They cannot just drop a liquid-cooled server into a room built for air. They have to completely demolish and retrofit their structural plumbing, their sub-rack architecture, their raised floors.
That sounds incredibly expensive.
Oh, we are talking about retrofitting costs reaching tens of millions of dollars just to be able to turn the new machines on. If we connect this to the bigger picture, this effectively prices smally independent cloud operators in North America and the EU entirely out of the AI infrastructure
Oh,
race.
wow.
The logistical nightmare of procuring all this heavy mechanical plumbing consolidates absolute AI supremacy into the hands of the top three global hyperscalers: Amazon, Microsoft, and Google, because they are the only ones with the limitless infrastructural capital to handle it.
So the rich get richer because they're the only ones who can afford the plumbing. That's wild. But heat isn't the only physical wall we are hitting. Let's look at the atoms themselves with the second event, TSMC's quantum bottleneck.
This one is fascinating.
The brief notes that TSMC, the undisputed giant of global chip manufacturing, is struggling to calibrate their new $300 million High-NA Extreme ultraviolet machines. They're trying to create the 1.6 nanometer node, which they call the A16, but they are hitting a wall called electron tunneling, which honestly sounds like science fiction. What is actually happening to the atoms here?
It is a really frustrating physics problem for them. We are at a point where the transistor walls on these chips are literally only a few atoms thick.
Just a few atoms.
Right. And at this microscopic scale, classical material science just dissolves and quantum mechanics takes over. Normally, a transistor acts like a gate, stopping the flow of electrons to register a zero or letting them through to register a one.
Basic computing.
Exactly. But because the wall is so impossibly thin now, the electrons just ignore the physical barrier. Their probabilistic wave functions allow them to pass straight through solid insulation.
So the electrons are just ghosting through the walls. That has to make controlling the chip basically impossible.
It does. It is the moment where quantum mechanics stops being a theoretical science and becomes a severe industrial headache. When you integrate that quantum leakage with new experimental designs like backside power delivery networks.
Which, for context, is kind of like trying to wire a skyscraper for electricity from the outside of the building while the floors keep shifting.
That's a great way to put it. When you combine those things, the wafer defect rates spike unnervingly. The brief notes that commercial yields on the Taiwan fabrication floors are hovering below 30%.
Meaning 70% of what they produce is defective, they're throwing it away.
Correct. And commercially speaking, throwing away 7% of a multi-million dollar silicon wafer is financial suicide. They just cannot release a product with those margins.
And this directly impacts what you, the listener, are going to be able to buy. Apple's upcoming M5 Pro series for MacBooks and the A20 Bionic chip for the 2026 iPhone 18 Pro, they were financially anchored to this exact A16 node. Because of this delay, Apple was forced to make a brutal choice. Either release the iPhone 18 with an older, slightly overclocked 2-nanometer chip just to buy TSMC 6 months of time, or delay the highly lucrative autumn hardware cycle entirely.
It perfectly illustrates our theme today. Hardware is hitting a hard physical wall. We cannot just shrink transistors and pump more power into them indefinitely without fighting the fundamental laws of the universe.
Right.
The global smartphone innovation curve is essentially forced to plateau. Your current iOS or Android flagship is going to have to last you well into late 2027 because the leap forward is stuck in a quantum traffic jam.
So if classical hardware is hitting this physical wall, software is violently pivoting to mask those deficiencies. Which brings us to our third event, and this is a massive shift in entertainment. We are looking at classified PlayStation 6 silicon leaks.
This is a huge paradigm shift.
According to the SDK briefs from Sony, the strategy for the new console is a complete 180. They are tearing away vast swaths of traditional graphical real estate, the shaders on the chip, to make room for dedicated AI tensor cores.
They're building a hybrid AI machine.
Exactly. This means next-gen AAA games on the PS6 might natively render at an incredibly low 1080p, or maybe even an internal 720p.
Which initially sounds like a steep downgrade until you understand the technological witchcraft of PlayStation's Spectral Super Resolution 2.0, or PSSR 2.0.
Right, the upscaling.
Sony has trained a hyper-aggressive neural network over millions of hours in their cloud data centers, and that network operates directly on the PS6 silicon. It takes that low-resolution 720p base image, analyzes previous frame data and motion vectors, and instantaneously hallucinates the image into a flawless, imperceptible 4K or 8K output.
Running at a buttery smooth 120 hertz.
Exactly. What's fascinating here is how this completely democratizes game development.
By taking the pressure off the developers to build every single pixel manually.
Precisely. For years, developers at studios like Naughty Dog or Rockstar had to spend hundreds of millions of dollars just fighting over raw polygon performance and complex lighting calculations. Now, they don't have to fight the hardware.
They just feed the AI.
They just feed the PSSR 2.0 matrix a basic framework and let it dream the missing high-fidelity pixels. It ends the brute force arms race.
And it solves the heat problem in the living room, too. You no longer need a power-hungry 400-watt graphics card melting under your television to get a beautiful game. The console war has shifted from who has the most raw computing power to who has the most effectively trained AI upscaling algorithm.
It is a very elegant workaround to the hardware limits we discussed earlier. But utilizing AI as a structural foundation introduces entirely new, deeply concerning paradigms. especially when we move from the living room to the enterprise desktop.
Yes.
That brings us to the fourth event, the OS Rubicon.
This one is a sweeping change. OpenAI just detonated a bomb at their developer conference by launching autonomous desktop agents.
Yeah.
We are way past typing questions into a web browser and begging ChatGPT for a code snippet.
Oh, absolutely.
These are highly aggressive API-driven intelligences that specifically request root or administrator kernel privileges deep inside your Windows or macOS desktop.
Let's pause and clarify what that means for a moment. For anyone who isn't an IT administrator, giving an application root access basically means handing over the master keys to your entire house, the combination to the safe, and the codes to the alarm system.
It has total control.
It allows the program to alter the fundamental operating system itself.
Right. And here's where it gets really interesting and honestly a little terrifying. The brief gives an example of the efficiency here. You just dictate to your microphone, scan my downloads folder for the last month, locate all Excel sheets with financial Q3 data, generate pivot charts for corporate tax, and email them as an attachment to my regional director with a formal brief.
And the agent awakens.
Just like that.
It leverages hidden system APIs, physically repositions your mouse cursor on the screen, rapidly opens files, manipulates the Office 365 user interface, boots Outlook, types the email, and dispatches it.
In seconds.
Literal robotic process automation executed in seconds. The productivity implications for the average office worker are astronomical.
But wait, aren't these systems sandboxed? If it's just clicking around Excel, why is the security implication such a nightmare?
Because it requires that root access to function seamlessly across different applications. This shatters what the cybersecurity industry calls zero trust architecture. Companies have spent millions fortifying their networks so that no user, and certainly no external program, is inherently trusted.
And now?
Now, executives are demanding IT departments grant complete execution authority to a cloud-tethered black box neural network that processes its logic on servers outside the company's firewalls.
And the brief has a severe advisory about this. I mean, imagine an AI agent hallucinating or misinterpreting the context of an infected environment. It could blindly execute malicious scripts it finds in an email, or accidentally alter firewall rules, or mass delete critical compliance documents.
Say worse.
Right. If this happens in a financial firm, an AI could execute millions of dollars in erroneous trading orders just because it misread a poorly worded voice prompt.
Exactly right. This raises an urgent question about authorization limits. The brief strongly advises that cloud-based large language models should never be authorized on workstations designated for financial routing, cryptographic cold storage wallets, or Linux server administration nodes.
They just can't be trusted with the keys.
An autonomous AI with admin privileges simply cannot differentiate between a benign text file and a critical kernel network configuration script. The risk of unrecoverable data corruption is immense. You are effectively trading absolute security for absolute convenience.
It's a terrifying trade-off. But speaking of trade-offs, let's look at a space where engineering seems to have actually found a perfect balance. The fifth event focuses on the mobility space, specifically the leaked Steam Deck 2 dev kits.
This is a brilliant piece of engineering.
Valve has been silently deploying these to trusted studios, and the deep forensic analysis of the leaked Linux kernel commits reveals something incredible. It's an ARM and x86 big little hybrid supercomputer.
To understand why this is so revolutionary, you have to look at the historical divide in processors. ARM architecture, which is what your smartphone or an iPad uses, is incredibly power efficient. It sips battery, it runs forever on a single charge, but it hasn't traditionally been used for heavy PC gaming.
Right.
Then you have x86 architecture, provided by companies like AMD and Intel. That delivers massive raw power for gaming, but it absolutely devours battery life and generates a lot of heat.
And Valve basically smashed them together. The hybrid execution is amazing. When you are just browsing the store, streaming Netflix, or downloading a 100-gigabyte background update, the ultra-low-power ARM cores take over. They sip an absurd 1 to 3 watts of power, giving you weeks of aggressive standby time.
Which is unheard of for a PC gaming handheld.
Exactly. But the exact millisecond you boot up an intense AAA game like Cyberpunk 2077, the ARM cores deactivate, and a 30-watt by 86 AMD Zen 5B surges to life, pushing graphics to a stunning 1440p raw OLED screen.
It is the perfect hybrid. And for you listening, here's why this matters. It is the end game for portable computing. As major manufacturers increasingly try to lock users into walled garden subscription models and closed ecosystems, this device runs on Arch Linux. It maintains the absolute freedom of open PC architecture, allowing you to install whatever you want, while finally matching the battery efficiency of a closed-system iPad.
It's the best of both worlds.
It absolutely threatens both the MacBook's dominance in efficiency and Nintendo's dominance in portable gaming.
A little ray of sunshine before we head into our final and arguably most alarming event from the brief, the Paris cryptology breach. So what does this all mean? Well, elite mathematicians and cryptographers in Paris just published a paper confirming they successfully hacked a leading quantum-resistant algorithm known as PQC.
Which is a massive blow to the security community.
Huge. This specific algorithm had just received preliminary endorsement from the U.S. National Institute of Standards and Technology. And the kicker, they didn't use some futuristic sci-fi 500-qubit quantum computer to do it. They tore this algorithm apart over a single weekend using a standard, low-cost server equipped with decade-old Intel Xeon processors.
This is a catastrophic event for global cybersecurity. We are rapidly approaching what the industry calls Q-Day.
Q-Day.
Yes. This is the imminent point in the next decade where stabilized quantum computing will be able to effortlessly vaporize modern banking encryption, like RSA 2048, using complex mathematics known as Shor's algorithm.
Can we break that down just a bit? What makes Shor's algorithm so dangerous to our current encryption?
Think of modern encryption as multiplying two prime numbers together to get a massive result. It's easy to multiply them, but incredibly hard to look at that massive result and figure out which two specific primes created it.
Like trying to unbake a cake.
Exactly. Shor's algorithm acts as a mathematical skeleton key. On a quantum computer, it turns that incredibly complex decryption problem into simple division, rendering current security obsolete in seconds. Because of this impending threat, governments, the Pentagon, Wall Street, they have all been desperately trying to migrate to new post-quantum cryptography to protect themselves.
And the algorithm that was hacked in Paris was supposed to be our digital armor against that exact threat.
Yes. It was based on complex lattice networks. For a quick analogy, imagine a microscopic multi-dimensional grid. It is incredibly easy to navigate if you have the mathematical map, but thought to be entirely impossible to solve if you don't, even for a quantum computer.
But the researchers in Paris proved otherwise.
They proved it completely succumbed to sophisticated multivariable matrix analysis using old hardware.
And the real-world panic this causes is tied to a terrifying espionage doctrine called Store Now, Decrypt Later. State-sponsored hackers are out there right now, continuously siphoning and hoarding mountains of encrypted transactional telemetry crossing public blockchains and financial networks.
They don't care that they can't read it today.
Right. They're just storing it on cold servers, waiting for 5 years from now when calibrated quantum arrays become available. On Q-Day, they will instantaneously extract the private keys and unmask billions of dollars in historical transactions.
The implications for the international digital economy are dire. So much of our infrastructure is heavily reliant on decentralized ledgers, Bitcoin ETFs, and stablecoin transactions. The structural collapse of a NIST-backed defense algorithm inside a Parisian laboratory is a deafening air raid siren.
It really is.
If the foundational mathematics meant to protect us in 2030 can be cracked today by an obsolete Intel chip from 2016, our digital assets, ranging from sovereign wealth funds to your personal crypto ledgers, are currently flying completely blind into an incoming quantum storm.
It is incredibly sobering. When we pull all this together, the core takeaway from the Tick and Brief for you, the listener, is that the era of mindless gadget consumption is over. The days of just looking at the newest phone or the newest console and marveling at the marketing hype are behind us. We are actively watching the physical limits of silicon clash with the relentless ambition of AI, and it is reshaping everything.
Navigating this new landscape requires shedding that marketing hype and really embracing critical thinking. Whether you are an enterprise architect deciding on cloud budgets, an investor looking at chip manufacturers, or just a technology enthusiast buying a laptop, you have to start evaluating tech through a much more rigorous lens.
Absolutely.
You have to understand the thermodynamics of these data centers, the atomic physics of microchip fabrication, and the glaring vulnerabilities haunting our cryptographic algorithms. Financial and digital survival is now strictly synonymous with a deep-level comprehension of what is actually happening under the hood.
Well said. It is a wild time to be paying attention.
Huh.
As we wrap up this deep dive, we want to leave you with one final, unmentioned paradox to ponder on your own. Consider everything we just unpacked today. If we are rapidly pushing to give autonomous AI agents root access to our operating systems to maximize our daily productivity, while at the exact same time discovering that the foundational quantum-proof math supposed to secure those very systems is fundamentally broken,
It's a terrifying thought.
Are we aggressively automating our digital world at the exact moment we've lost the ability to protect it? Something to keep you up at night, or at least keep you thinking until next time. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive.